hello to those of you who are listening over the web. And we want to welcome you, and we're glad that you're listening today. And if we can ever help you in any way, we want to do that. When you're in Huntsville, I hope you'll come and worship with us in person.
Our class tonight is going to be from Acts 27, and I'm going to portray a man named Julius, who is a Roman on the ship that Paul was on when he was shipwrecked. And we're going to talk about how God took care of the Apostle Paul, and aren't you thankful for that? And we're going to have a wonderful time as we learn more about God's Word. Now this week, what we're going to be studying has to do with the passages of Scripture relative to the sea. We'll be talking about the sea. Have you ever thought about the profundity of water on this earth and just how important it is? In the first chapter of the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The world was without, earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Bible says that God divided the waters from the waters. That's fascinating to me, because it implies, obviously, a decision about how much land mass to leave exposed and how much water. Heard of an atheist one time who argued that surely we weren't created by an intelligent being, because had it been so, well, you would have more land than water. Why would you have 70% of the earth covered by water and only 30% of land mass? But he failed to appreciate the marvelous hydro system that God has created. The oceans, 70% of this planet covered in water, evaporates up, forming clouds, and the clouds blow over to the soil, to the earth, and they rain. And the water that we have today is not new water. It's recycled. It comes down and goes through into rivers and streams and down the mountains and is purified again. And we use whatever we need, and then it goes back into the ocean, and the whole thing continues on and will continue on until the trumpet blows. And so in Job 38 and 28, the question that God asked Job was this: has the rain a father? Yeah. The rain has a father. And our God is an awesome God. Did you know that your human, physical, mortal body is made up of 60% water? Remarkable. And there were times in history, biblical history, when God would orchestrate the rain. Sometimes he would pull the rain back, and sometimes he would put on... I mean, you know, you think the way that God blesses us with rain, but it's not just in providing us rain, but regulating it. Isn't it? How long could you go without rain? You know, we call that drought, and people don't live very long. How long would you live if he sent too much rain? We call that flood. You can't survive that very long either. And there have been times in history when God sent a wake-up call to people using both methods. For example, of course, Genesis chapters 6 and 7. And the Bible says that 150 days, the water covered, during Noah's flood, the water covered the mountaintops for 150 days. Now, the normal waterfall of a year is about 32 inches. And he spreads that out. Typically, you know, it's spread out and you know, it just, gardens grow and things go well. But what God did in this case was to elevate the rainfall, to extend it. And of course, the world was destroyed except for 8 souls. When the people in 1 Samuel chapter 12, the people had begged God for a king, God said, why do they want an earthly king? I'm their king. Why do they want to be like the nations around them? Why don't they just want me for their king? I'll give them a king, but I'm going to tell them what's going to happen. And God describes all the... And it did happen. Of course, you might argue that the kings were the downfall of the Israelites, but with all their sin involved. Samuel says, he's given you that king, but it's harvest time right now, and to let you know of God's displeasure with what you have done in requesting a king. He's going to send abundant rain right now. It was a bad time for rain, and there was a lot of rain. There was a time, there were times when God would turn on the rain in abundance to get people to awaken to who He was. But then there were other times when He turned it off. When Solomon built the temple in 1 Kings chapter 8, he made reference to the rain. And I want to read a passage. I'm in verse 33 of 1 Kings 8. And when your people, Israel, are defeated before an enemy because they have sinned against you, and when they turn back to you and confess your name and pray and make supplication to you in this temple, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel and bring them back to the land which you gave to their fathers. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against you, when they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sin because you afflict them, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel, that you may teach them the good way in which they should walk, and send rain on your land, which you have given to your people as an inheritance. Now, folks, you and I serve an awesome God. In Matthew chapter 25, the Bible says, Matthew 5 rather, in 25, verse 45, here's what Jesus says. God causes His rain to fall on the just and on the unjust. That is to say, the one who has his hand on the rain is God. And it's described there as His rain. You and I can't live without it. We can't live without it properly regulated. We're totally and utterly dependent on Him for this. And our God blesses us and blesses us again. Now, Psalm 68 and 19 says that the Lord daily loadeth us with benefits. He blesses us every day. Now, I want to give you one more verse, and then I'm going to be finished. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, the Bible talks about the goodness of God, and it says this: Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? And don't you know that it's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance? And the point, of course, is that Paul is making there, when I take the time to ponder the magnificence of my God and my utter dependence on Him, my response, my natural response to that must always be, I really want to follow God. I want to obey Him. I want to repent. Now, the word repentance carries the idea of agreeing with God. I agree with you. I agree that what you say is wrong really is wrong, and what you say is right, and I'm going to turn and live your way. Is there someone here tonight who wants to obey the gospel? Isn't it interesting, with all the emphasis placed on water in the Bible, and I've only touched the hem of the garment, but isn't it interesting that baptism is created by God as the dividing line between being saved and lost? I was lost in my sin, and now I come to Jesus in penitence, in confessing His name, and I go into the waters of baptism. And when I come up out of that water, Romans 6 says that I walk in newness of life. Nothing magic about the water, but it's interesting, isn't it, that God uses that water for baptism. Would you like to be baptized? Anybody here want to be baptized? Now would be a wonderful time. If, on the other hand, you need the prayers of the church, we'd be happy to pray with you and for you. If you'd like to respond, come now as we stand and sing.
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.